Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 207 on Tuesday, the 25th of September, 2018. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. And this week we'll be contemplating how sorry is the hardest word. We'll also be discussing an attempt to ban a ban. And we get to play buzzword bingo with Alex Roy. But first, yeah. Alan, but first, very important news. Before we even get into follow-up.
It is. Happy third birthday to us.
Yes.
At 207, and no, I couldn't think of any Peugeot-related gags just there. We've only got one more week of that. Yeah, we are now venerable.
Yes.
Venerable. In terms of podcasts. I mean, 3 years in podcast years is like, whoa.
It's dog 50. Years. It's dog years.
It's more than dog years. Yeah. Most podcasts only get to about 20 episodes or something. Yes.
In our typical style of forgetting to blow our own trumpets, we didn't realize that it was our birthday until very just before the show.
I know this is the third birthday of us releasing shows for the first time, but I always feel September the 8th is actually our birthday because that was when we recorded the first one. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a festival of ums, ahs, and slightly duff sounding audio.
Yes.
It's quite embarrassing now. It's dropped off iTunes and most podcast players because they only keep the last 100. But if you go back to the website, then you can listen. There's actually an episode 0 before that. So yeah, yep. You can listen, which is like the proto rear view, really, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, let's get on with what we're meant to be talking about tonight, which is the week's motoring news. But before the follow-up, I'm going to start off with an apology. I made a mistake last week. I foolishly said, in relation to the Peugeot 205, that it was designed by Pininfarina. And, of course, we have a number of listeners whom we know are
knowledgeable
in terms of design and who did what when it comes to cars. And, sure enough, Lee Warren called me out. It wasn't the 205 itself was not designed by Pininfarina. It was designed by Gérard Velter instead. Internally from Peugeot, the Cabriolet was built by Pininfarina, and therefore, because I was half right, he gave me a buy.
But we're sorry. We try not to make those mistakes.
We do try not to make those mistakes at all, yes.
But thank you for pointing it out, because we also like to know when we are wrong, because thankfully it doesn't happen that often.
No, exactly.
But we're here to be educated too, so thank you very much.
Of course, our third anniversary pretty much coincides with the third anniversary of Dieselgate.
It does indeedy.
So shall we get through some Dieselgate follow-up as quickly as we possibly can, please?
Yes, we will do. The first bit of follow-up is there is an English explanation of the class action case that is being brought against VW in Germany. Now, this you'll notice when you click through on the links in the show notes, which I am still doing, that you... We'll see the date is a couple of weeks ago, but it's still relevant because it, and why I've bothered to include it is because it's the class action case, which we haven't mentioned for a while. And it's essentially reading this, and I'm not a legal expert, I will confess to that, in case it wasn't clear.
Well, there is an objectives of the action is very clear on this. There is a whole section marked objectives of the action.
It's basically... The owners should be compensated because Audi should never have released these vehicles. But I think if you're... should never have released these vehicles. But I would suggest everyone, if that's the line, everybody that has been near a diesel Volkswagen should perhaps be compensated because Volkswagen should never have released these vehicles.
Yeah, it's a bit wide there, isn't it? Yeah. We'll see. I mean, they can only start off with that and see what happens, and it can be narrowed down from there.
Yeah, but we know that there are other class actions that are waiting in the wings and seeing how this one goes first. Mm-hmm. But out of that, still dieselgating though, Alan.
Well, yes. Porsche has dropped diesel engines from its model range forever. I mean, it dropped them originally and said, look, we're not going to start with these in February 2018. It's now confirmed it won't be bringing it back again. Yeah, Porsche CEO is pointing out that they're not demonizing it. It is an important propulsion technology. And these are direct quotes from Porsche AG CEO Oliver Blum. And he's saying, really, you know, we're a sports car manufacturer. Diesel's not that important. So really, we shouldn't really be doing it. But you know, there's a place for it. My feeling when I saw that was that really what they're doing, and somebody else said this on Twitter, I'd already thought it, somebody else mentioned it, so I just want to make sure that they know, was like, yeah, well, we don't really trust what we're being given by Audi.
Yes.
in these cases, I do tend to feel that Porsche is a bit of a reluctant member of the Volkswagen group.
Well, the people from within Porsche have been happy to express their displeasure and dischuffedness with Audi. Particularly, I mean, one particular was the head of the union.
Yeah.
Was very vociferous on having a go.
Yeah. Well, Blum himself has said that Porsche's image has suffered as a result of this. It's embarrassing for them to have to withdraw engines and do that kind of thing. And they're not, you always get the feeling they're not the kind of company that likes doing that.
But they're going to focus on electric, hybrid and petrol. So yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
So there's still going to be options if you need the car to run a touch more economically than perhaps just a petrol engine will.
They're pretty economical anyway. I was, when we were before recording the LC500 special edition, which is out, by the way, so do feel free to have a listen to that. I was looking at not just costs of 911s at similar specifications, but also the fuel economy in there and the quoted fuel, you know, fuel economy and WLTP standards is really pretty good.
Mm.
Excellent for you know, Carrera S's and stuff. So and the hybrid, I've people seem to like it. Seems to work. Yep.
Yes, I've seen a few around here, even around here. So
quite a lot of them around. Mm.
It's the green calipers, isn't it? That giveaway.
That's normally the giveaway. Yes, yes. They often say E hybrid on the side with the E in green as well, because you know that's what you have to do with an E if you put it on the badge. It's a graphic design rule.
Right, moving on, still connected with diesels though. We mentioned very recently about how, I think it was last week actually.
Yeah, it was just last week, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Frankfurt are being forced to ban diesels starting next year, February next year. However, the state government that Frankfurt is in of Hesse?
I'm going to go with Hesse.
Hesse.
I don't really know, but I'm kind of guessing.
If anyone can speak German properly, I do apologize once again. As you know, we're 3 years in and still butcher a name. And the state government is actually going to the appeal court to have the ban overturned, because they're saying that the measures that they have already planned will have the same effect. So they don't need to have this general driving ban, because it's something like, what is it? It's going to be something like a quarter of the cars in Frankfurt would be affected by this. So obviously politicians are perhaps thinking, maybe we don't want to lose our voters. But they're suggesting that by deploying electric buses, more cycle and better cycle paths, park and ride, that will have the same effect as going, these Euro 1 and 2 vehicles can't come in the road, and then from September next year, it's Euro 5s below. So
I think what this is teaching us, it reminds us that Germany is actually really quite a new country, and that it is made up of sort of warring cities and states and city-states. So I think it tells us as much about German politics as it does about moves to curb vehicle pollution in cities and in surrounding states. There is a lot of this kind of in the squabbling, and we're seeing it bubbling up in an automotive kind of environment there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who's right in this. But, there we go. We have stated some facts.
Yes.
We shall now move on.
Let's not get embroiled in this one. And this is, again, it's a follow-up to an article from last week, isn't it, Alan?
Well, it is, yes. We mentioned last week, we said, well, JD Classics, the issue was still with lawsuits against Derek Hood, the company's founder, you know, accusing him of deliberate and dishonest conduct, quote unquote. And that was really the cause of the financial issues within JD Classics, nothing actually to do with how they, with the actual business. And sure enough, they found a buyer incredibly quickly. It has been sold to a company called Woodham Mortimer Limited. And Woodham Mortimer Limited are owned in turn by an American investment group. I don't know who Mr. Woodham is and who Mr. Mortimer, who Messrs. Woodham and Mortimer are. I speaks English, me. But yeah, that's who's taking over. Now, the management seems to be remaining the same. Former Lotus CEO, Jean-Marc, I think it's Gall, remains CEO.
But all the staff are staying, which is good news.
Yeah, and all the staff are staying. It's a full whack. You're buying it lock, stock, all the thing, and this is it.
They've just bought the whole thing and said, right, you've made changes already to the structure of the management team and things like that. We're going to plow on with how it... But so far, I mean, this, you know...
Yeah, so far.
We're days into the ownership, you know, the ink hasn't even dried or things like that. So we'll see how that goes. But it sounds like the confidence that the administration company had that they could shift this as a going concern very quickly is borne fruit.
Yes, exactly. So that looks good and it looks promising.
Yep. Right, on to new news.
Yes.
And this was Andy Palmer announced via Twitter that he is going to start a charitable foundation called the Palmer Foundation to help fund apprentices from less privileged backgrounds to get into apprentice programs, because he remembers how much it helped him and how important they really are even today.
Yes, I think apprenticeships are incredibly important, and I think that it's as finding a way in, because not everyone is academic, not everyone needs to and should go to university, and they're a great way of getting skills which you don't get at university, and then into jobs. Fantastic. I think it's really brilliant.
There's a massive amount to be said for people doing work in the industry whilst getting an education. I mean, I remember it's slightly different, but the principle's the same. Being in the architecture firm, and you get the people who are working through the degrees, at certain points they go and work in industry, at certain points along the 7-year degree. And you can see, particularly it's the first time they go into industry, like, the shock and horror. It's like, yeah, this isn't what your lecturer is teaching. Your lecturer is teaching you a set of skills for one thing. This is the reality of executing on that and using them. And
what you have to do is switch between them.
Yeah, I think this is going to be great. And, you know, it's going to be backed by the senior management team at Aston Martin Lagonda, as well as Mrs. Palmer. And they've got people such as Rio Ferdinand involved as well. So this is, you know, I think it's an excellent way. It's going to sound so cheesy of giving back. But I think this is definitely from his own personal experience of how valuable he found it. Well, he wouldn't be where he is today if it wasn't for it. That's obvious.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great initiative, great idea.
Agreed. Fantastic thing to be doing. So.
More good news though, Alan.
Well, yes, and I can add a downer to it if I try really hard, but I'm not going to. Coventry Motor Fest. Its value to Coventry has been estimated as £10 million a year. So Coventry Motor Fest brings £10 million to Coventry that wouldn't otherwise be spent there. To give you an idea of how they've come up with that kind of number, for example, local restaurants and pubs and stuff say they get a 50% increase in turnover. 98% of all the hotel rooms in Coventry get occupied over that weekend.
I can believe that figure.
As opposed to 60 to 65% normally. You know, overall 35% rise in spending over that weekend. Just excellent. You know, number of city visitors up 25%. I can believe. I mean, I've been to MotoFest 4 times, something like that. If it wasn't for MotoFest, I would never really have had any reason to go into the middle of Coventry. Let's be completely honest.
If MotorFest is not on, I will not be going into the centre of Coventry.
The IKEA is not bad and relatively convenient for me. There you go. That's what you get. There's IKEA. I'd go in there, meatballs, fika, whatever else I decide to buy in IKEA. You know, a new washing up brush, and that would kind of be me, and whatever I've intended on going for, which is fantastic news. I am going to put my bit on the end of it. and say, I'm going to try and find out what, I don't know, after next year, it's going to be very interesting and sad to see what the, if there has been a slump or whatever at in Corby without Rocky, to be honest.
What, financially and visits?
Financially and, well, not so much visits, but financially and businesses.
Well, there will be, right, won't there?
Yeah, well, I would say so.
Yeah, there has
car park's not going to bring in much, is it?
No, I know you can't believe it, but I can't believe that that's what's going to happen. That's just shocking, really.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Let's not.
Oh, moving on. Oh, pardon me. Yes, moving on to Guild Minute. It's a relatively short show this week and relatively quick because the Paris Motor Show is coming up. Well, there's two things. There's Paris Motor Show and there's an SMMT event today as well.
Yes. And one later in the week.
And one later in the week. So what that means is that many PR people are at these SMMT events and not doing other PR-y stuff. And as well as that, there are people car companies are keeping, those that will be at the Paris Motor Show are keeping their announcements until then.
Yeah.
So they're not really, not that much news.
And we don't talk about new model reveals either.
No, well, we don't normally. Not unless it's something really unusual.
Mm.
That Peugeot show concept car is really nice, but don't tell Andrew I've mentioned it.
It's okay, I don't think he noticed.
That's good. It is, as I said, Guild Minute. That point in the show where I remind you to think, consider, ponder what the motoring podcast is worth to you. And if you do feel that it is worth a small amount of your hard-earned cash to keep it going, then please do head to motoringpodcast.com and click on the orange Become a Patron button on the front page, where it'll take you to the Patreon page. It's a service we use for the monthly subscription of a couple of pounds, or dollars as it actually is. And yeah, you can find out much more there. I'm not going to bore you right now. If you're already a patron, thank you so very much. Really is appreciated. It makes a significant difference to what we can do and will do.
Yes, it's helped us make our third birthday.
It'll help us later in November and something we're about to talk about and some other bits and pieces like that. Of course, we understand not everyone has the ability to do that. And if those people can remember to like, subscribe, rate us via the podcast playing platform of your choice. We are, of course, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, and almost everything apart from Spotify.
I'm not that upset actually, because Spotify would make money out of us and we wouldn't see a penny of that.
Yeah, well, there we go. This is true. If you've done all that, that'd be wonderful. If you can then drag some mates into listening, you know, lock them in a cell, make them listen to us on repeat until eventually Stockholm Syndrome kicks in and they decide to listen to us through choice. Then that would just be absolutely fantastic.
There are less aggressive ways to make people enjoy the show.
Yeah, they're less fun. As I say, if you don't actually already subscribe to the show, then if you're not sure how to do that, and if you're not sure what services there are, then do get in touch. Get us. We'll give you all the contact details at the very end.
Mm.
I think I've covered everything possibly five or six times there.
Yeah, I think it's all been... You've done blanket coverage there. It's excellent.
Good, good.
No one can say that you haven't told them.
Yeah, quite. I do try not to say the same things every week, but quite often that means I get tongue-tied halfway through.
Right,
speaking
moving on.
Things to do with finance.
Goodwood have announced their festivals for 2019. Now, they've already announced the members' meeting, which is going to run from the 6th to the 7th of April. And there's tickets already for on sale for members and fellowship members. Mm-hmm. I think public happens sort of like New Year or Christmas or something.
Something like that, yeah.
But the Festival of Speed is going to be between the 4th and the 7th of July 2019. And the Revival is going to be between the 13th and the 15th of September 2019. Now make a note of this date because the tickets for public sale happen from the 5th of November. So that is the 5th of November public ticket sales for Festival of Speed and Revival.
The answer is we don't know yet, by the way. Just so you know.
Oh, now, yeah, well, first of all, we have to go and raid a piggy bank or two.
Well, for accommodation stuff, yes, we do. But the answer is, from that point of view, we don't know yet. But on the other hand, we do know the dates, so the people who may well be concerned and need consulted on those dates can be consulted at the earliest possible opportunity.
Yes. Swathes of calendars have been perhaps...
Already.
Marked up.
Already. Things have been marked on calendars. So there
yes. Go. Attention has been brought.
Yes.
But talking of events, though.
Talking of events, well, we do actually have an event planned. We will both be at the Mission Motorsport Race of Remembrance that is happening on the 9th to the 11th. Have I got the right dates? I think that's what it is in my calendar. So that weekend in November with Mission Motorsport Race of Remembrance, they are looking for sponsors for the event. So if you in any way, shape or form can help them out or are just interested in helping them out and don't know how you can help them yet, then do please get in touch with Mission Motorsport. You'll find them on Twitter. If you want to email them, you can email Polite Ben, whose surname I don't actually know, but his email address is bw@missionmotorsport.org. So please do get in touch with him.
Or if you know someone who possibly could help, if you can't, mention to them and give them the contact details.
Yes.
Also, don't forget, for year-round support of Mission Motorsport, there is the service that Amazon does, that they will, if you put Mission Motorsport in as the charity of your choice, they will give a percentage of whatever you buy to them, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
It is the least painful way to give money to a charity, actually. Yep. If you, instead of just going to amazon.co.uk, if you go to smile.amazon.co.uk, then that will actually trigger it, and it lets you choose your charity. You can choose Mission Motorsport for there, and then anything you buy through smile.amazon.co.uk then gives a small percentage to Mission Motorsport. And what's quite nice is that once you've done that with Amazon, if you inadvertently type in just amazon.co.uk, it will come up with a pop-up and say, do you really want to go to smile.amazon.co.uk? So, you know, it's quite good. They do give you a bit of a reminder if you're gormless like me. But I do it. Andrew does it. Loads of people do it. It's no pain for me. It's no money out of my pocket, but it does give stuff to Mission Motorsport. So that's a fantastic way of supporting them as well.
Yep. Every penny helps them.
Yes. We're looking forward to that, and we'll be doing live stuff and a special edition
all sorts of things. We haven't decided exactly how far or how much production of stuff we're going to make yet, but
we also have other responsibilities when we're there.
Yes.
Yes, keeping the Elderflower well away from Andrew.
Right.
Designer's mood board.
It was announced today, actually, that Citroën are naming Pierre Leclerc, I think.
Leclerc.
Right, thank you.
I'll do.
Who is the former Kia designer, design director, and he's going to replace Alexandre Malval. Is that right?
Yeah, that'll do. I don't know. Nobody ever tells us these things.
Who is moving to Mercedes-Benz's design studio in Nice. I can imagine he would be. Yes, quite. Leclerc has only been with Kia for a year right now, just over a year. Joined in September 2017. And Citroën have managed to prize him away. So this will be... It's going to be interesting to see whether there is a change in Citroën's design language, much of a change, and how much of a change there will be in Mercedes.
Yes. It can only be an improvement on the DS3 Crossback. It is not the prettiest thing I've seen recently.
Yeah, DS is not... Well, the DS7, I find exterior-wise quite dull.
Do you know where it looks really good? Dark colour, French autoroute, looks the business. It just looks so right.
Yeah, but it's not. DS should be sexy and gorgeous, and it's just, it's not offensive in any way, but it's just the.
We're going to agree to disagree on this because I actually quite like the DS7. But I like the DS5 as well.
Oh,
which I believe had the worst gearbox and suspension tuning in the world.
I love the look of the DS5. I think it's fabulous.
My mechanic had one for a while and he never, ever, and I never sort of really asked, to be honest, get one as the as a loner. Sadly, I always wanted a shotty of it.
Right. Lunchtime read.
Yeah, this week's lunchtime read. And well spotted and picked up, Andrew, because you found this one. It's by Alex Roy. Now, we like Alex Roy's stuff, okay? It appeals to, I think, our outlook and also our senses of humour. And this is an honest tech glossary for micromobility, Tesla, and something called the cactus effect. Do take 10 minutes to scroll through it and have a bit of a chortle at it. It is lighthearted satire. Have a read. It's well worth the time. It's on the drive, which is now accessible again here in Europe.
It just wasn't on my laptop, but it is on my phone.
So okay.
I think it is accessible, but there's obviously a setting on my laptop I have not unclicked.
Yeah, so I quite like some of the stuff that goes on the drive. I don't like all of it, but I do make a point of reading Alex's articles. It's great. Go have a read. It's worth 10 minutes of your time. Not all of it relates directly to the... I'm sorry, I've just noticed one of the definitions for e-tron. And none of them relate to the French either.
But at the bottom of this article, if you enjoyed that, click through one of the related articles, which should be the top one, that is an honest glossary of terms relating to self-driving, mobility, Tesla, and more. Because that's cracking. And it's along those lines. And it's right in our, as they say, wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We almost did a Tesla story there.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Okay. Right, moving on. List of the week. And this is on the Goodwood Road and Racing site. And it is eight asymmetrical cars, easy for me to say, that are so odd, they're awesome. They are fabulous. They are so odd that they are wonderful.
Are they so odd that they're awesome, Andrew?
Yes.
Yes, oh good.
Anyone think someone to put that in the title?
Yes, They're not. It's probably something psychological. I cannot get behind asymmetric vehicles. It's just weird. It's just not right.
What's wrong with the 1951 Piero Taruffi Ital Corsa TARF 2 speed record car?
Well, the name is a pretty good start. Let me find out. Scroll. There's a lot of... It's a Goodwood Road and Racing site, so there is a lot of scrolling.
Mm.
It looks like
there should be a propeller on the front.
Well, it does look like there should be a propeller. It looks like two bomb casings, shall we say, bolted
torpedoes
together. Yeah.
But the 1955 Nardi Giannini Bisilura.
Here's the first thing about asymmetric cars. They have really dumb names. Again, it just looks odd. It's such a bad use of space. You end up with this... I mean, all of these seem to be styled after catamarans, and they're just odd. Sorry, don't get it. There we are. That's lovely. Go have a... have a look, see if you agree with me or if you agree with Andrew. I mean, the Gene Winfield strip car.
See if you can pronounce the names better than us.
it's been a bad name night.
Yeah, I've picked them all as well.
Yeah,
I know. I put them all with me. And I sorted the order. I mean, how silly am I?
Just overlooking
3 years
everything.
In and I still haven't
207 episodes and he still hasn't got the idea of this.
That a lot of those cars are from a time when the world was more optimistic, I think.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
It was all spaceshipy designs and stuff.
It was all inspired. The list, by the way, was inspired by the Infiniti Prototype 10 that was unveiled at the recent Pebble Beach Concourse in California. Mm. That's where it's come from, which actually, by the way, I think looks really good.
Yep.
Because it's not styled after a catamaran. It's not just odd.
Just not living. So you could pretend you're in Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
You could.
The pod racing.
You could also...
Not Jar Jar Binks. Not Jar Jar Binks.
That, by the way, was not the high point of the Star Wars has not been the high point of these Star Wars
of many lows that they've had
films
of,
yes, the franchise. That's one of them.
That is definitely down there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Anyway, the Infiniti Prototype 10 makes me think far more of a Mercedes SLR. There we go.
Yes,
you
it
can
does.
Pretend
yep.
you're Stirling Absolutely. Moss.
And finally, Alan.
And finally, this is a cracker. I love this. And I'm sorry I didn't take a note of who flagged this on Twitter that I pinched it from. Every 3 years or so, there is a big Porsche event at Laguna in California, Laguna Seca this year, called Rennsport, the Rennsport Reunion. And it has part of the showcase, a fantastic lineup of historic Porsche racing cars. This year, they are doing all of that. They're doing all the historic Porsche racing cars. But in the middle of the day, each day, there will be a race for Porsche diesel super tractors. Ironically, diesel. Yes, I've only just realized that. So the Porsche's air-cooled tractors from the 1950s to the early 1960s will be racing at Laguna Seca. Unfortunately, we won't be seeing them go down the corkscrew, though, because it's only the first five corners that are going to be included.
Well, yeah, because they don't want to take up the whole day.
No, it's expected to take up to 15 minutes for them
well,
to
make the
first
five. Well, there's a Le Mans start style.
Yes, yeah, a Le Mans style start, the whole thing, the whole work. They've got to run out again and get to start
work
the track
to start it.
And then race. I think that this is genius. Absolutely genius. By the way, they are very, very pretty tractors.
Yes, they are.
As well. They're lovely. And the one pictured here, by the way, is not the prettiest of the lot, because this is one of the bigger ones, and the little ones are so cute. They're like little baby tractors. I don't like tractors.
So they'll be good around the corners, but
yeah,
the big ones will have them on the straights.
Thank you for that. But no, that's great. The link in the show notes will be to Hemmings Daily, who had that. Well done to Terry Shea, and who wrote the article. Genius stuff. And that does just about that.
Yes. It was a short one this week, I'm afraid, everybody.
It was a short one, yes. Yes, that's be a relief to many. A couple of notes. Rear View is sort of waking up again in the background, but I'm afraid you won't see any evidence of that this week. Why not skip back episode 5 and listen to Chris Alderby, Volvo test driver and general nice chap, and serial coffee drinker. So yes, why not remind yourself of how good Rear View is by listening back to that one, the early ones. Special edition out on Friday, which we recorded recently, and should be a new 150 video out by the end of the week. It might be Friday night, depending on how I get on tomorrow.
Okay.
Almost finished, but not quite. So, yes, that one's on me.
Fingers crossed, then.
Yes, exactly. And that does us for the week. Anything else I've forgotten, Andrew?
Nope.
Fab. In which case, people, as we move into the standard ending, don't forget that between now and next week, you can give us any feedback. Share your thoughts with us on the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget about Patreon, the Every Little Helps, whereas that is concerned. And don't forget to leave ratings and reviews on whichever podcast playing platform you prefer. Extra points, if you don't mind, for the alliteration. But those reviews really do matter. Andrew, if people want to correct all of the mispronunciations of people's names this week, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yes, to show me how to speak, the best way would be via Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen, you will find me there. And Alan, if people need to get in touch and correct anything else that perhaps you've said this week,
yes,
but I think you're okay this time, what's the best way to do it?
Yes, I think I'll just about crept through, but it's Twitter, as ever, where I'm at AJP Bradley, BRADLEY. We will be back next week. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.